It's great to be with you tonight, and in just a moment I'm going to wrap up this series we've been doing on The Conversation. Who's been enjoying this series? I know I've gotten heaps out of it personally, just simplifying the way that I talk to you and hear from God. But before I do that, I just wanted to tell you about the next series that we have coming up. It's called His Story, Our Voices, and all the way through October, we're going to be inviting and providing an opportunity for some of the leaders and members of our faith community that have what we believe to be a gift on their life or a message to share to come up and take the microphone and take the platform and share with us one of their favourite parables. So we'll have someone different morning and night all the way through October. So it's going to be a great, great opportunity for them to step out in their gifts. And so I really want to encourage you to be here and to encourage, give them feedback, lots of supportive feedback, and just be here to cheer, them on, because it's a big stretch and it's a big step. And Abzi will be kicking that off next Sunday. So I know that God is really growing a speaking gift in her, and she always thinks it's a challenge to speak to grown-ups. She's a little bit scared of grown-ups sometimes, so you need to smile and be really kind to her. I heard her preach during the week at camp, and she was just phenomenal. The word that she brought and spoke over the kids had me in tears, and often when I hear her preach to kids, it really ministers to my spirit. So she's a great storyteller. I know that you're going to be blessed by her next week. All right, so let's wrap up this series, The Conversation, and tonight I wanted to do that by exploring what God sounds like in different seasons of our spiritual journey or of our life. And I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever been caught out by a change in the weather? You had some plans and then the weather changed and everything went haywire. Well, the very first time we ever went camping with our kids, we got massively caught out in the weather. I mean, we'd been camping before, but when you add two kids into the mix, it's a whole different story. Any other campers in the house know what I'm talking about? Well, this one day, the beautiful sunny blue skies. We're at the caravan park. We're having a great time. We've been to the beach and thinking about what we do for the afternoon. And when you've got little ones, you know, your options are limited on a Friday night in the caravan park up the coast. So the caravan park was running a dance party, a family dance party. So we and the chins who we were camping with thought, well, we'll all go up to the dance party and we'll have a great time. So we left the site. The whole caravan park was up there. We were busting a move on the dance floor, having a great time. The kids were having the time of their life. And all of a sudden, we sort of started to notice that a few people were kind of leaving, like leaving the room. And, oh, that's a bit strange. The dance play is just getting started. You know, we're having a good time. And then kind of noticed that the wind had kind of picked up a little bit. Oh, okay. And then there was kind of these rumours starting to go around. Storm coming. And kind of, you know, so, oh, something, what's happening? And we looked outside and it was black. It was black as in the sky. And so Troy and Rod have kind of looked at us and went, all right, we better go fix the tents. That's what you're supposed to do. So they followed all the other man folk down to the tents, and you can hear all this tink, 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 tink going. And unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to Troy, when he took off, Jesse sort of heard him say, I'm going to the tent, and decided to follow him. So, but Troy, who was, this is a few years back, he was fast then, and so he... I had to get one in. He's pointing to me from the back of the thing. Anyway, so he took off very fast, and Jesse lost him. And so by the time Troy gets back, he fixes the tent. They've sorted that out. It's starting to rain, lightning, and all that's happening. And he comes back to help me with the kids. And I'm like, where's Jesse? He's like, I don't know, where's Jesse? And so here we are. There's like hundreds of people moving from this big hall to their tents. It's raining, the lightning started, and we've lost our six-year-old kid. I don't know if you've ever lost, actually we've lost both our kids at different times camping, but that's another story. but you know that sick feeling you get when, oh my goodness, where is he? And I actually don't even, I'll say, Troy and I were talking about this during the week, neither of us can remember how we got found. I think we were so traumatised. But you know, obviously he came back because he's just had his birthday this week and he's all good. But that night we learnt some very valuable lessons about camping with our family, and now when we go camping, Troy has a meteorology centre on his iPhone. You know, he sits every morning checking 500 apps, and we plan the day and the day's activities according to what the weather is going to be. We learn a lot of lessons, but what we learned most of all that first experience was the importance of discerning and responding to the weather or the seasons when you're living outdoors. And I was thinking about how it's true with our spiritual journey too. And sometimes, like Jesse was that night, we can find ourselves lost and confused in the dark, not knowing quite where we are because we haven't tuned into or discerned or perceived the season that God had shifted us into. From my own experience and from watching other people journey, their faith journeys, I think there's some common kind of seasons that we all go through over the course of our journey. And I think that each of those seasons has sometimes a unique or specific conversation that God wants to have with us too, a deeper story that he wants us to tune into. I think sometimes discerning the season helps us to tune into God's voice, to the conversation. But equally, sometimes tuning into the conversation and the theme of what we sense God's speaking about helps us to actually tune into the season that he's calling us into. So let's pray. And then what I want to do is just spend some time establishing a couple of kind of key truths about the seasons and then walking you through just a couple of the common ones I think that many of us go through in our spiritual journey and kind of looking at what does God sound like in those seasons? How does his voice change and shift in the seasons? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have each one of us in this room on a journey and that you are constantly speaking to us throughout that journey, that you're constantly with us. I pray tonight, God, that you would help us to discern the particular season that you have each one of us in, that we would be able to tune into your voice in the midst of our current season, and to reach for the deeper story, the deeper things that you're wanting to say to us in this time of our lives. So we just open our hearts and our spirits and our ears to you tonight, in Jesus' name. All right, if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes 3, we're going to start there. I've had the song in my head all week. Do you know it? Turn, turn, turn. This passage actually became a hit song back in the day. Band called The Birds. Made a lot of money. Is that right? Does anyone know? Yeah, I think that's right. From just basically using these words of this scripture. So, before I was born, yes, that's right. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version tonight, but it's pretty much got the same gist, whatever version you're having a look at. Starting at verse 3, there is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. Let me just stop there for a minute. There is a season or a time appointed for everything. You know, God is a God of order and process and plan. He's not random. He didn't just create the world in seven, you know, he'd created it in 7 days. It wasn't just a bang, there it is. There was an order and a process. And he created the seasons. In Genesis 8:22, it says, as long as the earth endures, we have seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. There's a cycle to the seasons. There's a cycle to agriculture, which we'll touch on a bit tonight. And I think there's a cycle to our journeys, our spiritual journeys, because the cycle is necessary for growth, seed, planting seed, growth and harvest. If it was one season, nothing would ever come to maturity. All right, so there's a time to be born and a time to die. So there's a time for beginnings and there's also a time for endings. There's a time to plant, it's time to sow seed, new ideas, new things. But then there's sometimes a time to uproot what is planted, to harvest, to produce some fruit. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build up. I was thinking about that tonight, white family over there. Because, you know, as parents, we there's a time when we're just, especially mums, young mums, building up. We're just building up our kids, and there's a long season of building, sometimes a mundane season of building. But then there comes a time to tear down, not so much tear down, but tear down the scaffolding and release them and trust what you've built into their lives as they go off, like Bella's going off, to pursue the call that God has on her. So there's a time for both those things. There's a time to weep. There's a time to weep, everyone, girls. There's a time to weep. It's all good. And then there's a time to laugh. Joy and sorrow together. We've talked about that before. There's a time to mourn. Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we lose things. There's a time to mourn. But there's also a time to dance and rejoice and enjoy life and enjoy people. There's a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. It's a time to draw people near and sometimes there's a time to let people go, people move on in our lives. There's a time to search and seek and sometimes there's a time to give up the search and surrender and trust. There's a time to keep things close and a time to throw away, to declutter. Haven't we been in a decluttering season this year as a church? There's a time to tear apart and a time to sew back together. We all have times of conflict, but then there's also times of restoration and the work of forgiveness. There's a time to keep silent. Girls, I think this is particularly, it's time to keep silent, but there's equally a time to speak up, and it's wisdom to discern the season for each, I think. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. You know, and by that I think about a time for war and a time for peace. You know, there's a time to work for peace, but there's a time to stand up for those that need advocating for. We go through all these different seasons as individuals, in our marriages, we go through some of this stuff, in our families. Life groups go through seasons. Churches go through seasons. Businesses go through seasons. You know, there is no such thing as an eternal summer or an eternal spring. There's no such thing as a person that is consistently in springtime, high peak fruitfulness. It's not how God designed it. Nobody can operate that way. Sometimes it kind of feels that way though, doesn't it? You know, you think, far out. I feel like I'm in a continual winter, and that person over there, it's just the blessing and favour of God on them, on them, on them. Nothing ever seems to go wrong. Why does that happen? I was thinking about that, and I think sometimes people chase the sun, you know? They avoid winter. They kind of just move with good seasons, and they move around. But what they do when they do that is they stunt their growth, because we know that God moves us through the seasons in order to bring us to maturity. And we need a time of sowing and a time of harvest. Well, sometimes people are just good at keeping up appearances, I think. From the outside, it looks like they're in eternal summer, but internally, they're not. Or I think sometimes people have learnt the beauty of leaning into each season. So even though a season can be challenging, they've learnt to find the gold in them. And there's kind of a grace about them, even in the midst of a difficult season. But every season is necessary for growth and harvest. I love this thought. Nothing is sown and harvested in the same season. Nobody lives in the same season. So verse 9, what profit is there for the worker from that in which he labours? I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. A mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend or grasp what God has done. His overall plan from the beginning to the end. You see, I think God has purpose in every season. A deeper story below the surface. In Daniel it says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all. He does all. He changes the season and guides history. He raises up kings and also brings them down. He provides both intelligence and discernment. He opens up the depths and tells secrets, sees in the dark and light spills out of him. He's the one that moves us through the seasons according to his purpose and plan. It's not inside our control. I think sometimes we can prolong our season, but it's God who shifts our season. And right at the end of that verse, verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good as long as they live, and also that every man should eat and drink and see and enjoy the good of all his labour is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it or nothing can be taken from it. For God does it so that men will fear and worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is God. You know, God shifts the seasons. Our seasons change and the conversation changes. But the nature of God remains the same in and through every season. His faithfulness and his love lasts and endures with us through every season. Every season is full of his promise. He has purpose for you in every season, treasure for you in every season, and provision for you in the midst of every season. In every season, God's paying attention to you and working out his plan, his deepest story within you, and drawing you into a deeper relationship with him, if you'll allow him. So I want to just share with you just a couple of reflections that I have from four of our kind of common seasons that we know from weather, but that I think also we can draw a spiritual analogy to. So let's start with winter. When we think of winter, what do you think of? Cold, yuck, misery. Except if you're Christy, she likes winter. Some light. There's some light in winter. You know, when we talk about a spiritual winter, sometimes people use the word wilderness experience, dark night of the soul, a desert place, where God kind of feels sometimes distant or silent, far away. We feel kind of alone or isolated. I was reflecting on some of my winter experiences, and they've been a time when, I've been desperate in my questioning with God. Why, God, is this happening? I don't understand. I feel confused. Trying to understand, where are you, God, in this? Questions about my faith and doubting. Can I really trust you? Winter seasons can be really hard, and they can be really hard to feel like you can hear God. And I've often felt in a winter season, what I need most is to hear you. I need you to answer my questions, God. A bit like Job, I need you to answer my questions, to provide a solution. But I think in a winter season is also the time when I've most powerfully experienced the presence of God. You know, every night when I put Eliza to bed, she loves to prolong bedtime by talking to me about everything that's important right at that moment. And her favourite thing to say to me is, Mummy, just one more question. Two more questions? Three more questions. And push it, you know, to keep me in the room longer. And every night without fail, there comes a point where I say, okay, no more questions. You're really tired and you need to go to sleep. You need to rest. And I think that that is what God's sometimes saying to us in the winter, winter time. He's like, stop with the questions. You're exhausted. And what you need to do is rest. You know, the next thing Eliza will do is she'll say, okay, Mummy, but can you lie with me? Every parent, you get sucked in, don't you? I haven't seen you awake. Can you just lie with me? Because what she really wants is my presence. She doesn't really want to ask me 3,000 questions, but she thinks that's the way that she's going to get me to stay in the room. You know, and I think that's what God wants to do with us in a winter season. Sometimes he's silent because he's like, you're too, you know, kids, when they're really upset about something, there's no way you can reason with them at that moment. And every parent has to learn this. Don't try to talk it through when they're emotionally up here, when they're traumatized, when they're upset. What they need is comfort and rest. And then in the morning, we'll talk. And I think in a winter season, God can be quiet because he's like, no more questions. But I'm here with you. let me lay with you, let me comfort you, rest in me, let me restore you, let me heal you, so that you can then move on into springtime. What God's speaking us into in a winter season is affirmation and comfort and healing and restoration. Springtime. Spring is a season of transition. I love when you catch that first glimpse of spring. You smell it in the air. You hear new songs. The insects and the birds are coming out again. You see flowers coming into bloom. I think spiritually in a springtime, God begins to raise our expectation and our hope again. He begins to talk to us about a new season. He begins to call us out of winter to say, you know what, take everything you've learned and you've reflected on and what I've been talking to you about in winter, but it's time to let go and move now into the future that I'm calling you into. Isaiah 43:19 in the Message says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. And God does that. He makes a road through the desert because he doesn't leave us in winter forever. Spring is a time for embracing new growth, embracing a new song, new ways of doing things, even in the way that we spend time with God. Have you ever had that experience where you've got your whole thing figured out with God, your whole, you know, routine when it comes to spending time with him, and all of a sudden one day, nothing. It doesn't work. You're not enjoying it anymore, and God changes it up. It's a new season. Now I want you to take walks with me. Or now I want you to just pour yourself into the Word, and he changes the seasons. Springtime is also a time to act, to get moving again. You know, there's a renewed energy in the spring. It's warmer. We want to go out and exercise. We want to move. Get moving on the things that you've learnt in your winter season. When you've got the energy to break up the fallow ground. I learned a little bit about agriculture this week. You know, sometimes in farming, they leave the ground fallow for 3 up to 7 years, which means that they don't actually plant any new seed because they need to restore the health of the soil. So there's a time sometimes where we remain fallow because God is restoring the health of our soil. And he's not going to let you plant anything new until you get healthy. In the spring season, the conversation can get exciting. Vision, direction, new projects. But it can also, if you're anything like me, get a little overwhelming. Because God is going, okay, it's time to stretch. It's time to get moving. It's a time to step out. I think often in these seasons, God's speaking challenge, but also encouragement and strength into us. He's speaking to you about your capacity and he's challenging you into new places. So the challenge is, you know, are you going to respond to that? Are you going to stay tuned into that conversation? Be brave, as Bella was sharing before. Are you going to let go in order to step forward? Let go of the former things. Take the lessons, sure. But sometimes we need to let go of stuff before we can move forward into a new season. And then a spiritual summer. I love summertime. Anyone else? Favourite season? Cannot wait. You know, it's a time for play. Beautiful, warm, long days. It's the beach. It's being with your family. You know, people don't seem to rush as much in summer. Stay up late. You know, and I think in summertime, spiritually, God's whispering, come away with me. Come away and just delight in me. In summertime, I think a spiritual summer, it's about learning to just be with and enjoy God. No agenda, no striving, no producing, just to be in his presence. He wants to delight over you and he wants you to take delight in him, to find joy just being with him. Back in December when Troy and I went to Hawaii, it was kind of like that for the first few days, you know? We would just like had this 10 days without the kids and there wasn't a lot of conversation, but you know, when you're really comfortable with someone, you can spend all day and not say much, but it's not awkward. like the conversation is quiet, but it's just comfortable and you're enjoying each other's company. A few days into the trip, though, I'm like, well, you know, 10 days without the kids, this is a great chance to talk. We could make some big life decisions on this trip. So I decided I was going to bring a spring season into summertime. It ended in a very large fight, full disclosure. We don't argue much, Troy and I, but this this was big. And it was because I was trying to bring a springtime conversation into a summer season. And I actually needed to let go of that and go, you know what, this time is just about enjoying being in each other's presence, delighting in that. Not trying to make any big decisions or step out into new projects or change things up and solve the biggest problems of the world and our family. It was just about delight and enjoyment and presence. So God can be quiet in the summertime season, but in a different way to a winter season. But in summer, you know, the gardens and everything we've planted, it also always needs constant watering. You know, summer is Troy out there in the garden every afternoon watering the plant. And I think in summer, it's such a great opportunity to retreat with God and allow Him to pour into your life, to spend time in worship, to abide in His word, to take walks with Him, and to build up His spirit and His presence in you for the seasons to come. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." In a summertime, take the time to be with Him and allow Him to rejoice. And lastly, in a spiritual autumn. Autumn, again, is a transition season between summer and winter. And in autumn, the leaves start to change colour and they fall to the ground. And agriculturally, autumn is when you see evidence of all your hard work. When what you've sown in a previous season comes to harvest and the grain is harvested, and then often after it's harvested, it goes through a phase of being processed, of being refined in order to produce whatever wheat or whatever the grain is going to produce. And so I think autumn is a time when God speaks to us about the areas of our life that need refining in order for Him to bring us to greater maturity. There's passages in Jeremiah and Isaiah where God speaks about He's the potter and we are the clay and He's moulding and forming us. And, you know, when this starts to happen, when we come into a season of autumn, you know, sometimes I find that I begin to avoid God. I begin to avoid the conversation because I don't really want to hear what God has to say. I start to engage in selective hearing, or I'm like that kid that's like, no, I don't want to know. I can sense, God, that you're stirring up, you're pushing on things that are going to hold me back from entering into the new season you have for me. But, you know, when God highlights or exposes things or presses on parts of our character, He always does it to bring us to a greater place of freedom and never condemnation. God will challenge and stretch us, but He never shames us. And He always promises His grace for us to overcome. If God is exposing or allowing something to be revealed, it's because He has an answer for it. He has a solution. He has a new freedom for you. You know, for me, often in these times, and I feel in a bit of an autumn season right now, it's my thinking and my behaviours that God is challenging, the faulty parts that are going to stop me from stepping fully into His call. But when I look back on my journey, it's these autumn seasons that are the ones that have prepared me and propelled me to enter a new summer or enter a new springtime. And so the challenge is not to run and hide or avoid, but to lean in and tune into the conversation so that God can bring me to a place of maturity. God changes the season and He has purpose and a conversation for you in every season. Maybe you identify with one of these tonight, or you can think of it in a different way, a different kind of season. But every season has a story. So what is it that God's wanting to talk to you about in this season? You know, sometimes we can try to avoid or fight or wish away or rush through our current season. We just want to be anywhere but where we are right now. We want to be further along over there in the future. But when we do that, we can miss the gold, the treasure, the promise, the provision God has for us, the growth and the maturity that he wants to bring. So embracing your season is an issue of surrender and of trust. Psalm 31 says, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." The season changes, the conversation changes, but God remains the same. Completely faithful, completely for you. He has purpose in your season. He has treasure in each season, and he will provide for you in the midst of every season. So will you trust him in the midst of your season? And will you tune into the conversation that he wants to have with you and let him draw you closer to him? Let's pray. Why don't we stand? God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. As I think back of my own life and my own story, I can think of your incredible love as you've journeyed me through every season and round again, always bringing me to a closer relationship with you and to a further place of maturity, empowering me to step into what you're calling me to. So I pray for all of us tonight. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to surrender and trust you in the midst of our season, whether it be summertime, a time of delighting in you, wintertime, a time of finding comfort and rest and healing, or those times of transition where you're speaking new things or you're exposing things in our life that you want to bring a greater freedom to, that need to change. Some seasons are hard, God, but I thank you that the promise is that you're with us always, that you provide for us in every season. We just want to trust you tonight. We just surrender our season to you. Help us to tune into your voice, God. Meet us here.